For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
The only way we're going to help the issue and help eradicate sexual violence is if we talk about it.
Right.
I did a story with one of my dear friends, Gab Cruz, and she's a sportscaster in Cleveland.
Right.
And she talked about dating violence. And at first she didn't want to share her story publicly, and then she changed her mind. And I said, why did you change your mind? And she said, I realize it's the silence of victims that allow predators to continue their predatory
Absolutely.
Behavior. And that's not to put, like, no one's responsible to, like, fix the predator.
Absolutely.
But if you do have the ability to talk about it, it does help.
Thanks to Sana Skin Studio for supporting the No Podcast. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for our promo code so you can receive $25 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the No Podcast with me, Nikki Spo. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to The Know, where it is not about knowing everything, but about coming to know ourselves. I am your hostess, Nikki Spolstra, and I am so happy that you're here on this journey with me and that we're on this together to come to a place where we can find and celebrate our deepest sense of inner knowing. I've had to do a lot of rediscovery in the last several years, from getting sober to losing my mom, to going through my third pregnancy while going through a divorce, through taking my son through a successful run of chemotherapy. And I have to say that on the other side of all of this has been the great awakening that my life has really needed. But here's the thing, while big life events can definitely expedite the healing process and a person's homecoming, I believe that there are ways to come home to ourselves that are perhaps less severe. Like listening to empowering conversations, sitting with women who walk and talk differently, asking ourselves tough questions and holding ourselves accountable, and of course, going to therapy and hiring appropriate life coaches. Here's the thing. My story is not unique. Everyone has a story. A lot of our feelings are similar, and they just come in different packaging. And I am so passionate about being able to speak with people from all walks of life who are pushing their limits to live the life they want and courageously come home to their deepest sense of inner knowing. Which brings me to today's guest,
Lauren Brill, who has fearlessly told her story of sexual assault and has dedicated her career to creating a space through writing and poetry to amplify healing journeys through relationships, trauma, discrimination, addiction, mental health, illness, and grief, with the goal of inspiring thousands of individuals to discover their superpowers so that they can live fulfilling lives. Before we get started with Lauren, I want to cover some updates. If you are not already subscribed to the show, I want to encourage you to subscribe to whichever or all of your favorite listening platforms, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. By subscribing, you'll always have an automatic download and you will never miss an episode. Also, I have some exciting news to share about something that I've been working on for quite a while. So I know firsthand the power of community and shared experience, and I am so honored to announce that I have created an exclusive online women's community where we talk about all of life's topics. We've been meeting once a week, every week, and it has been so inspiring to get to know all of the incredible women who have come on this journey with me. In my group, Becoming Her, we are striving to become the best versions of ourselves and realize that she is us, and that we can become the her of our highest desires. In my community, we're meeting once a week and we have monthly webinars with experts in the personal development fields, and you have access to me for one-on-one convos about all of life topics. So I have a special promotion for my podcast audience, which I will link in the show notes, and I want to welcome you to Becoming Her, where we will do great things together. If you ever have any questions, you can always send me a DM on Instagram at Nikki Sapspo. I'm usually really great about getting back to every single message that I receive. So back to Lauren. I can't wait to get started with her, and just some background on her before we jump in. Lauren Brill is a 7-time Emmy-nominated reporter, public speaker, entrepreneur, and former TV broadcaster. After graduating from Columbia University with a sociology degree, Lauren began her journalism career as a writer for NBA.com and WNBA.com. She was a longtime sports anchor and reporter in Cleveland, Buffalo, and New York, and I am so excited for her to share parts of her journey with you today and how she is inspiring so many individuals to tap into their superpowers. Let's get started with Lauren Brill. What's up, you guys? I have Lauren Brill here, author of Unseal Your Superpowers. Lauren, thank you so much for taking time to meet with me today in person. Yay. This is so amazing.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I feel like it's been a long time coming. We've been like trying to get on each other's calendars forever, and it's here. The day is here. I'm so excited.
Yay.
So I feel like we have a lot in common. We have a lot of overlap of things that we talk about, the type of content that we each talk about as far as like healing journeys are concerned. We have the overlap of Lifestyle Magazine having run features on us, which, you know, our a dear person who became a dear friend to me, Kevin Kaminsky, the author of each of our articles, passed away last December, which was really so sad. And what a beautiful soul and light he was, and really so grateful that I had the opportunity to meet him, but also wild that like that's like an overlap in each of our journey. So Lauren, let's talk about like some of the lighter connections that we have. Like, hello, the NBA. You have been a WNBA writer and an NBA writer. That is like, what a small world is this?
Yeah, that was my first job. I was in college and I wrote to every single person I could find that worked for the NBA, and I ended up getting a job in the broadcasting department my junior year of college. And then I realized they were outsourcing all the WNBA content, and I said, I'll write it. And I started writing for the WNBA in college, and then afterwards they moved me to the NBA when I graduated. So it was an awesome experience and I loved it. It was a great team of people and they treated me really well. So I'm grateful for that experience.
How was it writing for the WNBA? You know, we hear a lot about like the inequality between the two sports, like the men's league and the women's league. How was it to write about the women that are performing at such a high level?
So I loved it. I was an athlete. And mind you, I was writing for the NBA the WNBA in 2006, 2007. So this is a long time ago and we've made a lot of progress since
then. Sure, absolutely.
But they were extremely accessible. They were happy to talk to you for as long as you wanted to talk. So they were very accessible. And as a former athlete, I looked up to these women.
You played soccer.
I played soccer, yeah. And I wasn't like a great athlete. I wasn't anything to compared to their level, but just somebody who appreciated a competitive spirit, somebody who appreciated people with confidence and swagger. I mean, Becky Hammon had so much swagger and I loved that about her. And I loved reporting on them because of the access and the approachability, but I also looked up to them and was inspired by their energy and their spirit and their tenacity and their confidence. So I think it was twofold for me, especially being so young at the time.
I have a story about Becky Hammon. Several years ago, many years ago at this point, I was at NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. And this is when Becky had recently become an assistant coach for the Spurs. And so I'm around a lot of NBA people, right? Mm-hmm. And the word on the street was that Becky Hammon was sitting there in a practice at the top of the bleachers, like pounding away on her laptop and just like really just like going at it and super, super like engaged in her job. What a thought, right? And so there's all these guys just around, like, I mean, and I know so many people in the NBA. It's not just like one community of people. It wasn't like just reserved to the Miami Heat. I've met so many people in the NBA across the board, right? And there's this narrative going down in that setting. I remember I was at some party and the guys are like kind of knocking her for being up in the bleachers, working her ass off. Like, hey, Becky, chill. It's summer league, right? And I remember, and I hope Becky listens to this because, girlfriend, I had your back. I looked at these guys and I'm like, you realize that as a woman, Becky has to show up and work three times as hard as any of you guys who went out for drinks the night before and are just rolling into summer league, you know, hungover and not taking it seriously because she's a woman. So you guys are like over here complaining like, oh, the women are going to take our jobs in the NBA. Damn right, when they outwork you like that.
Well, I think that's part of it. They're like, wait, I'm not working, so she shouldn't be working. They're afraid to be outworked. And I think Becky Hammon's history is inspiring and interesting. She was not like a highly coveted player. She was considered undersized. I don't know if she was even drafted into the WNBA. I think if she was, it wasn't a high pick. She really busted her tail to prove herself. And then she was one of the greatest players of all time. So she only knows hard work. But I think it's also the narrative that you talk about a lot. Women can't win. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. If you don't work hard, if you don't work hard enough, you're lazy and you're not fit for this position and you can't do it. But if you work too hard, chill out,
everybody,
girl.
Take relax. Like, right.
You know, So I think, you know, Becky Hammon, I remember she used to chew a lot of gum and she just had so much swagger and confidence. She didn't care. She's going to work her butt off and she's not going to let anyone get in her head and stop her. And I think you have to be like that as a woman, as a
especially
person who wants to thrive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've said this a lot in my history, but nobody wants to get beat. But no one wants to get beat by the girl, and especially the girl, and like for me, like with pink lipstick and a cute little skirt. But like for Becky Hammon, no one wants to get beat by a girl. There's still that mentality in, you know, 2024. Yeah.
Well, props to Becky Hammon. I never knew you. I've never met you. But I, in that conversation, when that was happening, I had your back. So good karma, good juju is going around here. I know that. Lauren, we talked about coming to know Kevin Kaminsky and how he published a story about you opening up about the sexual assault you experienced as a high schooler. And so that is something that you and I have in common in different ways, you know. And my very first podcast episode that I ever recorded was with a woman named Lauren Book, and she's a Florida senator now, and she has Lauren's Kids, which basically like brings awareness to childhood sexual abuse. And it wasn't until hearing her story that I was able to uncover some really painful memories of my own. And so it's a really heavy topic that I've worked really hard to be able to speak about with a sense of lightness, but it's even considering that, like I understand still that, like, for me anyway, when I talk about it, even though I can say it with relatively little emotion, I think it's really hard for other people to hear it still.
It makes, quote unquote, people have told me it makes people uncomfortable.
Well, right.
But I'm like, okay, well, it's uncomfortable for you to hear, but imagine how uncomfortable it was for me to experience. And in the only way we're going to help the issue and help eradicate sexual violence is if we talk about it.
Right.
I did a story with one of my dear friends, Gab Cruz, and she's a sportscaster in Cleveland, and she talked about dating violence. And at first she didn't want to share her story publicly, and then she changed her mind. And I said, why did you change your mind? And she said, I realize it's the silence of victims that allow predators to continue their predatory behavior. And that's not to put, like, no one's responsible to like fix a predator, but if you do have the ability to talk about it, it does help. And so when she said that to me, I was like, okay, I'm sharing my story. And that was actually the catalyst to me sharing my story. I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. It was almost my way of honoring her, sharing her story. I was like, okay, if she can step up, I'm going to step up. I'm not going to fight back too. And I don't put it on, you know, victims aren't responsible necessarily to hold predators accountable. But if you can, you're helping other women for the future. The more we talk about it, and the more people are aware that it's a problem and it affects everyone. And I think, you know, I wrote this in my original letter that I put out about my story, that, you know, I went to a great school and I had great parents. And do I look like it can happen to anyone?
That's right.
There's no profile that gives you a pass that sexual violence. It can happen to someone's daughter, your sister, your cousin, and it can happen to you.
It can happen to boys too.
And it does. And when I started The Unsealed, a lot of men started writing me. And I think that was the biggest shock, how many men are sexually abused as children. But if we don't talk about it, we can't fix it. We can't hold people responsible. We don't know the signs. And I think if people are more vocal, people might be more scared to do it or more apt to protect somebody in a situation where it's happening. Yeah. So I don't really care if I make people uncomfortable.
You know, we were talking about this before we started actually recording, about how, like, I've received criticism in the public and how I've kind of, like, faced it head on. And it's on a much smaller scale, right? But, like, I vividly recall, like, throughout my healing journey, and I read, you know, in your book that you held this secret for 10 years, for over a decade, actually. Yeah. And the poison that occurs when we hold secrets like that within us, right? And how freeing it can be to actually come forward and talk about the hard things or the terrible things or the ugly things that have happened in our lives. And so once I started to do that, and for me, a lot of it, that happened when I was 27 years old, and then I went on to lead a path of sobriety and all this. But fast forward to post-divorce, when I'm getting all this, like, ugly feedback about my life and myself and all these things, I made a decision to face that. Yeah. Face those comments, right? And be like, because the narrative is always like, oh, don't listen to the bullies, don't listen to the trolls, don't listen to this. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, no, like, I'm actually going to call them out, because, like, I'm going to reveal your ugliness to you.
And sometimes it also feels good to stand up for yourself.
It really does. And so, like, people think that just because you're a reporter or you're in the public eye or you're whatever, that you are, like, you're not human, or it's like they get a pass to treat you in ways that can be really hurtful. And so one of the biggest messages and the takeaways that I got from going through that experience in the local public anyway, was to hold compassion for people. And I actually even felt like I had to have compassion for people that were mean to me, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how painful to be you.
Yeah. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. But the good thing is that healed people can heal people too. Yeah. So, like, and that's what I'm here for.
And I think when people ridicule people that they don't know, or people in the public eye, or even in cases of sexual violence, it's a form of dehumanization.
That's
right. They
don't
see you as human.
Yeah.
They see you as beautiful and successful and all these other things that are so maybe distant to them, that they're like, oh, I can tear her down. Like, she's not human. Like, she's not, they don't see the humanity in you. They don't see that you're a mother. They don't see you're a person that's been through trauma. They don't see that you have a kind heart. They just see this perfection or the outside things, and they think they can throw darts. But part of what I try to do with people is make sure we, through storytelling, we see the humanity in everyone.
I think that is such a crucial and important part of walking through life, right? Yeah. Is like really, really tapping into what the human experience is really like. Mm. And I've seen that in the power of community, right? With this group that I've started called Becoming Her, where I'm helping women to become the her of her desires.
Yeah.
And you're doing it with Unsealed, right? Yeah. So tell us about Unsealed, because you have the book, but you also have the community.
Yeah. So 5 years ago, I decided to leave my sportscasting career and start.
Scary. Hello. Yeah. That's a scary move.
People thought I was crazy. But it's called The Unsealed, and it's an online platform where people can write and share stories about their lives. It's open letters. My trademark line is, turn your secrets into superpowers. Share the things that hurt you to show other people how you've persevered, and empower yourself and inspire other people at the same time. When you write and share your story, you release that secret, you release that pain, so you're empowering yourself. But when you share how you've overcome it, or how you've dealt with it, or just that you've been through it, you make someone else feel less alone. You make someone else feel hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the superpower comes in. The things that hurt you are actually kind of your greatest asset to use in life to inspire and empower people. Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Because, like, I remember, you know, it's something that one of my former guests and a good friend of mine talks about a lot, Michelle Dempsey Multak, and she helps people go through divorce and co-parenting. And she talks about transitioning from a victim mindset into a victor mindset, taking the victim into victor, right? And how do we overcome and use the things that we've been through, like what you're saying, to our advantage, to what? And I think a lot of it has to do with like making us more empathetic, making us stronger, making us more capable, you know? And I remember personally, Lauren, too, like going through life at some point being like, I think I've carried enough, God. I remember like talking to God and being like, I think I'm good. I think you've shown me a lot. Like, especially after 2022 when I was going through all that shit, like by myself. Like, it was a storm of all the things. Yeah. My mom died. I was pregnant, going through divorce. My son had cancer. Right. Like, so it was just like the biggest reckoning of my life. And I remember thinking to myself, I think I've done enough right now. And I think I need a break. And what's wild is that once I started talking about it and being like, okay with my position, is when the awakening really, really happened for me.
Do you look back now though and see like, okay, like I handled this, I handled that. I had all this on my plate, which is a lot for any human. And I came out and I'm stronger than ever. I'm better. Like, you ever feel like, okay, world, hit me with your best shot. Like, I got this now.
Right.
Does it give you the sense of I can take on anything?
It does. It does. Right. But it wasn't, I didn't feel like that until after I was like really angry that I had to hold that much and that I had to carry that, like that I had to bear that much pain, right? Like, cause I went through like, and I'm sure you can relate to this on some level, like being angry that you went through that, right? Like being big mad that why me? Like, why did all this shit happen to me all at once, right? And I'm talking about like also like stuff in my childhood, right? Like the stuff that you write about in your book that you carry for years without telling anybody, right? I think once I got through the anger, then I was able to be like, oh, I'm the toughest bitch I know.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So now, like, you can do anything in life, right? Like, start a business? Okay.
Okay, right. Like, it's kind of hard to phase me. And you, I mean, do you feel like that with yourself and what you've been through?
Yeah, I mean, I think I purposely kind of tell myself that narrative. But I'm like, if my 16-year-old self could get out of that situation and then pursue my dreams, pursue all the things that I wanted to do and accomplish them despite what happened. I owe it to myself not to give up on the things that I want now. I owe it to myself to believe in my strength and believe in my power. So I think that my 16-year-old self is what kind of drives me now to know that I can't give up and whatever I want to do, I have the power to do it. I don't know if I went through the anger stage as much. I didn't process my assault very well, like I just put it in the back of my head for a really long time. And instead I threw up every day. Like that's how my body processed it. And I thought I was going to doctors and gastroenterologists. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? You're fine. I'm like, that's not possible. I feel sick. And then I started talking about it and my stomach felt better. I'm like, what is going on here? And that's when I realized how much the mind and body were connected.
Well, the body keeps, there's a whole book about it. Like the body keeps the score.
Yeah. Your body remembers what your mind forgets. And so if you don't heal the mind, you'll feel it in your body.
It's so obvious too. Like when you experience it and you come out of it, it's like obvious, right? In the moment, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
Like I remember thinking like, okay, I'm so depressed. I have so much anxiety. I have all these things that are going wrong with me. And then I started to change my circumstances, change my surroundings, change like a few things and start to really deal with the trauma that I've experienced in my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not that anxious. Maybe I'm not depressed. Maybe I'm
just need to let go.
I need to let go.
Yeah.
Maybe I really need to let go.
There's one part of my assault, and I think I wrote about it in the book. I'm pretty sure I did, but it's something that women don't talk about a lot at all. And I had, the only time I've ever thought it's discussed was on Law and Order, but I got turned on during my assault. And that was extremely confusing for me. Yeah. And I was like, did my body want this? And like, if you tell people that, they're going to say, oh, you wanted this. And that's not the case. There has been research that said it happens often with women because it's actually a way for your body to protect itself.
That's so crazy. But I can relate to it.
Yeah. But then there was a loss of control with my body, right? So I was carrying that shame and I was like, I think that was part of the secrecy. And when I told my mother, and my mother has a degree in psychology, so somehow she always knows how to say the right thing. Right away, she said, oh, it's like Pavlov's dog. It doesn't mean you wanted it. It's just, you know, you ring the bell with Pavlov's dog, he's gonna salivate. It's the same sort of scientific process and concept. And as soon as she told me that, my stomach got better. Everything got better. I mean, my relationships with men got better, everything. It just was like, oh, it wasn't my fault. And it was so freeing. And I you know, I don't talk about it in every interview, but I do think it's important that women know that that's normal. And that doesn't mean you wanted it. It doesn't mean you asked for it. It doesn't mean you liked it. It's just your physical reaction. And that was also really freeing for me to just tell my mom. And then now I do share it with other women just as, because someone else could be suffering for the same reason.
Yeah. I think that there's also a lot to be said about the people who believe you when you come forward and you tell your secret.
Yeah.
I worked with a therapist and she was on my show before, Dr. Andrea Loeb. She's a trauma specialist. And she said that the biggest determining factor on somebody's ability to heal and become like a upstanding person in society, or not just upstanding person, but like a functioning person in society, yeah, right? A well-functioning person in society, is that when they come forward with their secret, that they are believed.
Yeah. Right. And met with like warmth and love, yeah, instead of
and support,
questions.
Right. Yeah. Or like disbelief, or like, no, that didn't happen, or gaslighting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
And I felt like for me, that's what happened. You know, yeah, it was like, no, that didn't really happen. Like, so for years, not only was I dealing with the trauma of like having experienced the things, right? But then also like not being able to trust myself. Like, did that really happen?
I did the
same
thing.
Did I go through that?
I had to walk through my steps.
Did I really do that? Did I make it up? No, it wasn't that bad. No, it didn't touch like that. No.
I had to be like, okay, this happened. I said no. I could barely move. Like, A plus B, like equal, you know, one plus one equals two.
How many years did I spend like not trusting myself?
I think what I read about like trauma, especially when it happens young, is that sometimes the brain just buries it until you can handle it. It's like protecting you almost.
Right.
Like, hey, you're not ready to deal with this level of trauma. And then when eventually it comes out and you face it and you're like, okay. And then that's another level of healing of like, okay, I'm going to cry about this now. I'm going to talk about it now. But it's a process, I feel like, to even just heal from something like that. And sexual assault is so strange in the sense that like when someone dies, you understand why it's painful.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really understand, like, why does this hurt so much? It was, you know, 20 minutes of my life, but yet I'm still talking about it. So it's something that's so – the way I see it is like if someone robs you, like, oh, you have a really nice ring, I'm going to take it and I'm going to rob you. And you're like, that's scary. But like when someone assaults you, they rob you of your body, something that's inherently yours. And it's a whole nother level. And it's something that we take for granted every day, that our bodies are in our own control.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sauna Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sauna is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sauna's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I have had at Sauna has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sauna membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code THENOGLOW for $25 off of your first facial when booking at SanaSkinStudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sana Skin Studio.
I appreciate that you have been so open about your journey because I know it's helping so many people, especially with the writing of your book, well, creating the community, right, Unsealed, but also with the writing of your book, which I've had the privilege of going through, and I love the way that it's structured. It's so, I mean this in like the best way. It's like giving chicken soup for the soul when I was like 12,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
It's comforting. Like there's something that is so comforting about your book. Like I remember reading Chicken Soup for the Soul when I was a kid. Like my mom got me like the one for teens or whatever.
Yeah.
And thinking like, oh my gosh, yes, this feels good. And I didn't even know like what, like the analogy of Chicken Soup for the Soul even meant. But like your Unseal Your Superpowers, this book right here is giving that warmth, that like sense of understanding, the sense of support. It's non-judgment. Like a warm hug, like yeah. non-judgment, like no shame, like a place of acceptance yeah. and peace. And it feels like a hug. It feels like a hug by all these people who wrote in that I don't like, they're complete strangers to me. And so yeah. the way that the book is set up is like a series of like your thoughts, right? Yeah. Some of your thoughts that are peppered in, but then it's like subjects, right? And yeah. it has letters from a bunch of different people on very
life.
Various subjects, humble beginnings. You have like mental health, discrimination, disabilities, like all types of topics that are just in here that you're like, oh my gosh, like all of these relatable stories. Because one of my biggest messages, Lauren, now is that a lot of our feelings are the same.
Yeah.
They're just in different packaging.
Yep, 100%.
They're just in different packaging. That's it. So but a lot of what we're feeling is very, very similar as human beings. And that comes yeah. back to the human experience, right?
And the humanity in all of us. And the way I wrote this book is, so I would find someone with an interesting story or story that I wanted to tell, interview them, ghostwrite the story for them, and then make sure that it's accurate to their voice and they liked it. And that's how we put it together. But with every person's story, whether it was similar to my life story or not, I found a message.
Right.
I found a lesson. I mean, there's a story about a man in there. His name's Chris. And his mother was an alcoholic and basically abandoned him. And he was homeless at very young age. I think it was 8 years old. And long story short, he ends up growing up and becoming a lawyer, mm-hmm. Despite having challenge after challenge. And his message was that you have to believe that miracles can happen. You have to always have hope and believe the things that you want will happen, and you just do what you can control.
Yeah.
And I was not homeless as a child. I did not have an alcoholic parent,
maybe.
But I took the message of, you control what you can control and believe that everything else will fall into place. And I took that message when I was starting my business. So completely different circumstances, but the lesson I could apply to my own life.
I want to talk about the power of hope. And there was a story in here, how hope helped me survive years of wrongful imprisonment, right?
Wow.
So I know that that letter follows the title, and it's a man's actual testament of yeah. being wrongfully, literally wrongfully imprisoned. But it makes me think of the ways in which we imprison ourselves
yeah.
By the secrets we keep. And so how, if at all, has keeping your secrets imprisoned you? And how has hope been what sets you free?
I think my secret imprisoned me because I felt sick. I was stuck. And I don't even think I was consciously keeping a secret. I think my body was just like not ready to face it, and it was expressing it itself in other way. And I didn't know I was imprisoned until I was free.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Until I was like, when I wrote my open, first I told my family in my like mid-20s, and then it wasn't until like 6 years later that I wrote this open letter while I was working as a sportscaster in Cleveland after my friend Gab shared her story. And when I wrote my letter and I tweeted it out, and we had like Cleveland Browns players saying like, we got your back, Lauren, you know, wow. and sharing the story. And it went viral. And it wasn't until that moment that I was like, oh my God, I'm free. And when I felt the lightness in sharing, like from sharing my story, I realized how imprisoned I was for so many years. But I don't think I realized that I was stuck until I was free.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I had a pretty bad postpartum anxiety and depression after my first two children were born. And especially when the first time around that it happened, like I did not know that I was unwell. Like I did not know. I was just like, this is what being a new mom is like. Like this is just, and it wasn't until like afterwards that I started to feel normal again. like
that you put it together.
And what was normal? Because I was still like dealing with my own trauma, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't until after I like was out of that like dark cloud that I was like, oh, I was in a dark cloud. Like I had no idea. But
you feel better and you're like, oh, I didn't feel like this a month ago.
Right. You just start to think it's like when you have an injury in your back or something, like you tweak your back and it just starts to like become part of your everyday life. You're just like, okay, whatever, I have back pain. And then you don't realize like how much pain you're walking around with. And I bring that analogy up because like it's easier to think about physical pain.
Yeah.
Right. Like we carry around, oh, my ankle hurts. So I start to like make all these modifications. And when I'm working out, like I maybe lean on my, if it's my right ankle, I make all these adjustments to like lean more towards the left. And then something else starts hurting because I'm making that adjustment. And then it's like this ripple effect. And before you know it, you're just walking around with all this physical pain. Right. Yeah.
And it just becomes part of your everyday life.
But society can wrap their head around physical pain because it's physical. Like
tangible.
Emotional pain is a lot more difficult to digest for people and to even see.
Yeah.
Like, can't even see it, right? Because it's happening within. And we're all, like, for the most part, trying to be functional people.
Yeah.
And go about our everyday lives. And so it can feel really isolating, I think, when you don't have a story or you don't have a community or a safe space to land with whatever it is that you're going through. Because I really do believe that it's the talking about it part, like you're saying, is what does set us free. And it also like gives us hope.
Yeah.
And I think that like hope is the thing that has saved my life time and time and time again.
I think hope, love, and faith are the three most powerful human emotions. Hope, love, and faith. Because if you have no hope, what's the point? You know, I was in Cleveland working for the news, and there was a story about these two boys who were like 15 years old who just like decided today they were going to go to a gas station and kill somebody. And they did. And then I saw them get, you know, arraigned, and they were just like these two little boys. And I was like, what could it possess a 15-year-old to just kill somebody and throw their life away at the same time? No hope. There's no hope. And if you don't have hope, you have nothing. So I think hope is just so important so that people have a reason to dream, a reason to believe, a reason to work hard, a reason to wake up every morning. So I think hope is the most powerful and important emotion, but I think hope, faith, and love are all kind of right up there.
I think they work together too. I remember being in a very hopeless time in my life, you know, and like I remember what it felt like to not want to live, like not wanting to hurt myself or anything, but like
just being done. Like being done. Exhausted.
Like I'm tired. I'm done. I think I'm done here. You know, and finding a community truly saved my life.
Yeah.
Like truly, truly it turned my life
because
around.
Your thoughts ruminate in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think so I've read a lot. I'm not a psychologist, but I've read a lot about psychology. And what I've read is that if you have these thoughts running in your ruminating in your head, they will take over you, they will bring you down. You need to let them out, whether it be writing, music, art, conventional therapy. All of those things have very similar effects. You just pick the one that works for you. For me, it was writing. For someone else, it might be music. For someone else, it might be a therapist. For someone else, it might be painting. But you need to express and get the thoughts in your head out. It's like you need to take out the garbage. You need to take out the garbage in your head.
You need to take out the garbage.
And dump it. And so, you know, there's a lot of scientific evidence that when people write, they have less physical illnesses. Their grade point average improves. Their absentees lessen at work. Like there's all these tangible things that improve when you just let out your feelings through writing or other mechanisms. So it's so important to have an outlet. And then I think too, when you're met with kindness or met with love, when you let those things out, it just elevates that healing process and makes it feel safer to continue to do it. You know, if you let out your feelings, as you said, like when a sexual assault survivor, if they let out their truth and then they're not believed, they don't heal. But if they let out their truth and they're given a hug, they start to feel better and they start to truly progress and feel safer to continue to heal. And it was interesting you mentioned the book feels like a hug because one of our Unsealed members said that the Unsealed is like a journal that gives you a hug because we write everybody back when they share their stories.
That's incredible.
That's the idea, to let people open up and meet them with kindness.
Yeah. Mm. Let's talk about your writing journey because I read that your English teacher was actually like, maybe you should study math, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should study math.
Yeah, yeah. That was.
But here you are. Look at you.
I didn't care.
You're like, okay.
So I had an older brother that was really smart, like way smarter than me. And I will still say that. And he's like, oh, you're smart too, but he's great. But I was always striving to be as good as him, right? Like he was here and I, you know, if he got 100 on the test, I got a 98. So I did well in school, but never as well as him. So I always had a high bar to set. So he got into a great school. He went to Columbia and I was like, I got to get in there too. It was a competitive spirit. And math came really naturally to me. But English didn't. Like, mm-hmm. It just didn't. And I didn't understand, like, the grammar stuff. Like, I couldn't. It was hard for me. But I didn't want to give up on it. And I also always liked writing poetry. And when I got waitlisted at Columbia and I did end up getting in, it was like, I don't know. That was like a milestone in my life because it was, I had set that goal to just, you know, not be far behind my brother. And when I got to Columbia, they had a writing center. And I was there every day. Mm-hmm. I took every single paper there and was like, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And then there was a teacher there who I actually sent the book to and mentioned him in the acknowledgments who let me rewrite my papers like 12 times. He's like, you know, I can't regrade it 12 times. I go, I don't want you to regrade it. I want to learn better. How to get it right.
Yeah.
And he read it 12 times until I got it right. And by my senior year, I was getting an A on every paper. So, yeah, this teacher in high school was, I went to public school my whole life. And then, you know, my dad didn't like my boyfriend in high school. So he made me go to private school the last 2 years. And they were ahead. They were just ahead. They were better writers and more prepared. And so this teacher at the private school was like, you're just not where everyone else is. Like, you should focus in math. You know, math, it's harder mm-hmm. to be ahead. If you get it, you get it. So, I don't know. I didn't listen to him. He also told me I shouldn't go to Columbia. I wasn't smart enough. I don't know. And I just didn't listen. You know, sometimes you just got to believe in yourself and just
truly
and just follow your heart and know that, like, nobody knows what you're capable of except you. You know, nobody knows. The only person who knows your true power is yourself.
You know, Lauren, I feel like I can relate to that so much. When I was in high school getting ready to go into college, I got a scholarship to a fashion school to study fashion design and eventually decided that that wasn't for me. So I transferred to a community college because it was what was affordable for me. And then later transferred to Florida International University, which is where I graduated from ultimately.
With honors.
Yes. but I remember being told like, oh no, like go work at Hooters, go work at a restaurant. You'll meet like a cute guy, like who will learn, who will take care of you. And it's like, there was a lot of messaging like that. And there was a lot of self-worth stuff that I had to deal with. And it was like, you don't need to go to college. And I was very angry for legitimate reasons, right? Like I had a lot of anger growing up for legitimate reasons, but like that really pissed me off that was the messaging. And so instead of doing that, I like worked three jobs in high school. I mean, in college, I worked three jobs in college and put myself through school and got straight A's, you know, like it was the fuel that I needed for whatever reason to get myself and push myself to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with a mother who is gorgeous. She always was gorgeous. She's 72. She's still gorgeous. And everyone always used to hit on her. And I also saw how they would put her down too, though.
Yeah.
Like if she said, talked about like world issues, they'd be like, what do you know? Like,
oh, wow.
And I think that probably happened a lot with you too. You're a dancer, you're beautiful. And I think people want to assume that if you have all this, you can't have this too. And it's easier to tell you to go work at Hooters than it is to be like, oh, you're probably really smart. You should go study, right? Like, I think it's also what we talked about before, that other people's insecurities. If you get to be good looking, you don't get to be smart too.
That's so wild.
So I saw it with my mother, and so I could totally see.
You probably experienced it yourself as well.
Probably not on the same level, but I mean, I think there's
being a woman in sports. Yeah, period, of
they
course.
Want to assume that you're dumb, and then you end up like overcompensating and being like, I've done this and I've done that, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't need to like share all this, right? Like, I don't need to prove myself to them, and I think that's part of why I wanted to start my own company. Like, I looked at how I was being treated, and I was like, okay, like I know I'm more than just like a cute girl on the sideline. I know that I can do things. I know that I can think for myself, and I have really good ideas. And I'm like, if these people can run a company, I think I can too.
Absolutely.
And I think people want to put down women, especially if you're feminine. If you wear the lipstick, you wear the dress, you wear the heels. I think there's this is just anecdotal, like from experiences. I think people want to be like, oh, okay, she must not have a brain.
Yeah.
No matter what your resume says, no matter what your mouth says. And I think probably the same thing happened with you. And, you know, people just assumed that like, oh, she's a dancer. She's beautiful. She's a Miami Heat dancer. Like, what could she really know? Like, she should work at Hooters.
Well, you know, it's wild because I think, like, I've never really allowed that to go down. Like, I've always had a pretty loud mouth, so I, like, clap back. Awesome. You know, I've been clapping back forever. Like,
and my mom's not like that. She would question herself, and I'd be like, Mom, you're so smart! Like, and it would really frustrate me.
But I think it's really important that we do speak up about those things.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, I think it's freeing. And it does give us hope, right? Because if I didn't address it, if I just internalized these things, like, it would eat at me.
For me, I've always, like, picked my battles. But at the same time, you know, I've stood up for myself a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes my dad was like, did I encourage you to stand up for yourself too much? I'm like, no, I make my own choices. And number two, I can look in my mirror and know that I stood up for myself and what I believe in. And there's a quote from Maya Angelou that says, every time a woman stands up for herself, she doesn't just stand up for herself. She stands up for all women.
That's right.
So when you speak up about the way people are treating you, you're also speaking up for other people who are treated similarly, especially women.
I think it's really important, too, that men start to stand up.
For women, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's big power there because, like, for what it's worth, like, it's like, oh, there's another angry woman who's loud and standing up for herself. But I think a lot of men are coming around to it and being like, actually, yeah, I'm with her.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I'm standing with her. And I do think that there needs to be a lot more male support for the female narrative and the female experience as a human experience so that, like, our society can heal collectively.
And that starts with women speaking up because if men don't know what you're going through, they can't help you.
Right,
like,
that's right.
And I've spoken up a lot. And my dad's a lawyer, and there's like a lot of, in law, there's a lot of times women are like sitting down and the men are the ones making the arguments. And my dad always has like made it a point to make sure he helps elevate women's careers because he knows my story and he sees what I go through. But if I never told him and I never shared, he might not be as conscious about what he sees around him with other, and same with like my friends. Like I share with my male friends, my partners like that I've had, that what happens to me and what my experience so that they know when they see it in their work environments that it's not okay and to recognize it and be aware that it's there. So I think speaking up is so important. And I also think that that will encourage male support so they are aware because it's very easy to be unaware of problems you don't experience for yourself.
Totally.
You know, like I'm scared to walk in parking lots alone at night. But, you know, my fiance is 6'2". He's probably not scared to walk in parking lots at night. So I have to tell him like, hey, I get scared. Can you walk me to my car?
Yeah.
And then once you tell them, you know, okay, sure. You know, like, so I think people are unaware of problems that don't exist for them. So I think it's really important that everyone shares.
Yeah.
So they're more conscious about other people's experiences.
Do you ever get tired? Like, you have this community, you're helping so many people, you're doing the work. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever feel like, is it worth it? It's like, what am I doing? What am I doing it for?
I get tired when the technology stuff doesn't work and I don't know how to fix it. And then I got to spend more money to like get someone else to fix it. Like, you know, I use so many different technologies and softwares to make money, to run my company. And I don't know that side as well. So that part, that's when I'm like, I just want to throw this computer at the door. Like, but I have a little folder on my desktop, which is like, it says, keep going. And I started this summer when people send me a message like The Unsealed saved my life or The Unsealed has, you know, helped me get out of depression or whatever it is, that some positive comment about their experience with The Unsealed, I save it. So if I ever have that moment, I just go back and read them. I'm like, okay, I got this, you know, like there's a purpose to this. And I love it. Like even on the worst day, I love it more than I liked working for someone else. So I get frustrated. Sometimes I'm like, should I just sell it now? But then I'm like, no, this is my heart in a business. Like this, I it's a true reflection of all the things that I'm passionate about: storytelling, helping people, making sure everyone feels they have a voice and everyone feels that they're heard. You know, when you're working for the NBA and other outlets, you're interviewing LeBron James and big names that voices are heard and have a platform of their own. And so now I'm making sure that everyone has a microphone. And that's important to me because everyone deserves to be heard and everyone deserves to have a voice and everyone's story matters and everyone's story can contribute to making the world better. The more we hear people's hearts, the more we can come together and correct some of the wrongs in our world.
Lauren, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. This is Lauren's book, Lauren Brill, Unseal Your Superpowers. I hope that you all go check it out. It is wonderful. She is a wonderful light, and it's been a pleasure to be in your presence.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be in your presence as well.
See you guys next time.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code, THENOGLOW, for $25 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you so much for listening to The Know. If you loved this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Words are so powerful, and someone may need to hear what we covered today. And if you really loved this episode, please take a moment to rate the show and leave a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect on The Know. You can connect with me personally via Instagram at Nikki Sapp Spo and The Know with Nikki Spo. My hope for you today is that you are fearless in looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.